and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. I've just been putting my Christmas tree up.
It's a bit late.
What do you mean it's a bit late?
Well, surely it should be up by the first, shouldn't it?
Well, see, I grew up in a household. Well, this is an interesting question, because I grew up in a household where really, even putting it up now would be seen as possibly a little early.
Really?
My parents won't put theirs up until, I think they're going to put theirs up this weekend. The weekend before Christmas. They'd already do about a week before Christmas.
I think the thing with me is, if you're going to go up into the loft and go to the effort of dragging it all down, then you want to sort of have it out for a while and enjoy it and sort of get in the spirit of it for a week or two. You don't really want to have it, you know, all pulled down and then a week later it's back up again.
There is a bit of me that every year, because there was a few years where I didn't bother. Right. But there is a bit of family pressure. You are going to put your tree up, aren't you, Trev? You will put your tree up, especially as I have the family to me on Boxing Day. It's kind of got to make, I've got to make it Christmassy, and I really,
I must admit, if I lived alone, I wouldn't bother.
But there is a bit of me that thinks every year, oh, I've got to go and bring it all down. I mean, it's only a fake tree. It doesn't take long to put together. Do you know what I mean? An hour at the most, it's all done. Because I mean, it looks nice, but there's no real planning or finesse. It's just baubles randomly stuck on, lights just shoved on. I mean, this year I think I make the same mistakes every year. Two mistakes I make every year, which piss me off every year, and I always think, oh, I'll make a note, I won't do that next year.
I'm willing to bet I could guess one of them straight away.
Okay, try and guess one of them. Yeah,
I don't know what two would be, but I reckon one of them definitely is that you don't put the Christmas tree lights away carefully or neatly, and then you end up having a nest of lights to sort of untangle every year.
No, I'm very good with that.
Oh, okay.
I should always put the lights on the tree first.
Right.
I never do that. It's always the last thing that goes on, but then it knocks half the ornaments off that you've already put on the tree. The other half are then all wrapped around the fucking lights. So I then have to go and untangle the baubles and all the things hanging from the lights. So every year I think lights on first, never do that. And the other thing I do every year, which every year sends me into a mini rage very quickly, is the bottom, the stand for the Christmas tree. You put two bits together and then there's three little screws that you put in. And every year I put the screws in and I tighten them up all as far as they can go, and then realize you can't do that because you've got to put the fucking Christmas tree into the hole and then tighten the fucking screws. Every year I do that. Every year.
Oh, do you think one day it'll catch on?
I've had this tree about 10, 11 years, and every year I do the same thing. And every year when I put it away, I think, oh, well, I'll remember that for next year. Of course, I never will. Never going to remember that.
No, I was going to say maybe you will get the hang of it, but not, you've been doing it for a decade. I don't think you're going to remember.
No. But anyway, it's up. I'm feeling festive. I'm feeling Christmassy, Ben.
Good, because I'm sure it'll all be cancelled in a week's time, and then it wasn't worth bringing the tree down at all.
You know, last week you were telling me about the Omicron B and no Crimbo.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently the B isn't part of its name at all. That was just made up.
No, it is. It is. I'm sure it's B. It's Omicron B.
It's just called Omicron. It's just called Omicron. Someone's made the rest up, as far as I understand.
Well, that's news to me.
But it was also pointed out to me that Omicron is also an anagram of moronic. So I reckon anyone who's fallen for this old no Crimbo conspiracy is moronic.
Are you sure it's not Omicron B1 something something something?
That's what they said on Have I Got News For You.
Oh, they've probably done their homework more than I have.
I'd imagine. And it was Ian Hislop who pointed out it was moronic, so all credit to him. It's not my gag at all. But, so anyway, but you're right, Christmas is looking like it's beginning to look a lot like lockdown. Everywhere you go. You're looking forward to another lockdown, Ben?
Well, I'm tempted to completely ignore what the Prime Minister tells us to do this year.
A lot of my friends have been saying that. They're all, I know a lot of very rebellious people.
I will do my best to keep everybody around me safe and socially distanced and healthy. But after the last few weeks, we're not going to get into this in a major way, but of political news, I refuse to take instruction from that bunch of Muppets. That clown is not telling me how to spend my Christmas this year. I did it last year.
Yeah, yeah.
whilst he was hosting a Christmas quiz for all of his mates.
Allegedly,
which he's not allowed to do. So, yeah, fuck him and his advice. I'll do what I want. Safely.
Safely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. I was talking to another friend of mine the other day, and he was saying that he's going to have a massive party. Just
really?
Screw it. He's going to have a massive party, but but everyone will have to wear masks. I don't see the point of a party if you've got to wear masks. No point.
Well, I might have a little way around that for him.
Might you?
Yeah, because this is government advice, but there is a big loophole in it.
Okay.
Now, I know last week on the podcast, you and I were both very much champions of masks.
And I still am. That's not changed.
I still am too. I will be wearing my mask.
Wear a fucking mask. That message hasn't changed as far as I'm concerned. In fact, you know, with Boris, sorry to interrupt you, but you know, Boris,
that's right.
You know, Boris addressed us, you know, because he is a very... He's so statesmanlike that he has to address us like a president, like he's on a war footing. Did you watch him address us?
I did. I saw the pre-recorded message, yeah.
I'd have much more respect for him if he just came on and went, right, everybody, right, wear your fucking mask. Wear a fucking mask. Just wear a fucking mask. Get fucking jabbed. Fucking get jabbed, you fucking morons. Finish. Go away. So jabbering on like a fucking blithering imbecile.
So if you want to attend the party without a mask on, or if you want to do anything, if you want to go to the supermarket without a mask on, I've got the solution for you.
It's not one of these. I was talking to another friend of mine the other day, and we decided that none of us have ever met anyone who's legitimately exempt. We think they're like unicorns, people who are legitimately exempt. So these people, is it to say I'm exempt? Is it as easy as that? No?
No, it's not. It's, I tell you what, it's not a loophole I found. I won't take credit for this myself, but it has been confirmed by the government as completely acceptable.
Well, if that's the case, if the government have said it.
They have, honestly.
Is it to have a party?
No, so you can go to the supermarket. Sorry, that took me a minute. Go to the supermarket where they say put on a mask.
Mm.
Now, there are certain exceptions to mask wearing. One of them is if you're eating, or if you're drinking, or if you're singing. If you're going to do where you're going to do a bit of singing. And these apply to indoor venues.
Right.
So somebody pointed out and asked one of the Prime Minister's top spokespeople, well, technically speaking, a supermarket is an indoor venue.
Yes.
They went, yes. And then they said, well, so does that mean I could walk around the supermarket doing my shopping whilst singing the entire time, and I would be exempt from wearing my mask? And the government spokesman for the Prime Minister of this country said, well, technically, yes, that would be fine. You would be exempt.
Wow. I mean, I've got some problems with this.
Go on.
Well, first of all, when in lockdown one, lockdowns one and two, possibly three, I lost track of what we were supposed to be doing and when, but certainly lockdowns one and two, singing wasn't allowed anywhere anyway. And then I think it was in lockdown two, if people could sing, but it had to be like a choir or something. You couldn't sing as an individual. I went to some church thing where we weren't allowed to sing. Only the choir could sing, and they were well away from the congregation. If you're walking around Sainsbury's singing, surely that's, you're basically spreading the disease.
Of course you are, yeah.
You're projecting, so that's just bollocks. They need to clamp down on that straight away and say no singing in supermarkets. That does not count. It's not an exemption.
It has been checked with the government, the Prime Minister.
Well, these bunch of they're fucking morons, mate. Don't ask the government.
And I think they realised the massive problem with this thing that they've set up, that you can march around Sainsbury's having a good old sing song and you're fine from wearing a mask. So when they said yes, technically that would be exempt.
Mm.
They did then go on to say, but you'd have to, you know, justify why you were singing, and it would have to be, you know, an acceptable reason as to why you were exempt.
I think the only way that you'd be allowed, this is what I think, if I was running the country, if you were to ask me that question, can I sing in the supermarket? I'd say you can, if the supermarket are employing you to be a singer, to be an entertainer within the supermarket in a staged area, socially distanced from the customers. In that way, you might be allowed to sing. But apart from that, no.
No, they've absolutely snookered themselves because they've said that a supermarket counts as an indoor venue and singing is something that is exempt from mask wearing. So therefore, if you add the two together, you are perfectly fine to go around a supermarket singing away, no mask, and that has been accepted by the government. And I'm not sure what kind of justification or proof of reasonability they need. I mean, surely I'm in a very good mood today. That's a completely justifiable reason to have, walk around singing to yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean,
got me thinking, I wonder what song you'd sing. I think if it was me who
wearing a mask,
yeah,
it's like keeping a fart in your trousers. Remember that one?
That was exactly the song I thought would be the best. I thought, I wouldn't do this because Omicron, it's moronic. But I think that I would probably want to sing Innie Kamosi, Hot Stepper.
All right, here's another question. If you look at the three exemptions that you gave, if you could go into a supermarket and sing, presumably you could go into a supermarket and walk around eating.
Yeah, unless you're not allowed to do that. But I see plenty of people. I don't see it so much anymore. I used to see it when I was little. People would eat as they walked around the supermarket and then just pay for the empty wrappers at the end. It was really weird.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose I did. I suppose I did. I can't think of any occasions where I've seen that. But I mean, these days, some supermarkets, I've never used them because I still like the old fashioned. I'm not really a fan of this fucking, you know, self-checkout bollocks because it's always a pain in the arse. I prefer to queue up and be served by a person most of the time. But you know, some supermarkets now, you go around with a thing, like you swipe the barcode yourself as you go around.
Yes.
So presumably that would be a lot easier. So if you bought, let's say you bought one of those pre-cooked roast chickens, right?
Yeah.
You pick that up, you swipe it on your barcode so it's already sorted, it's paid for, and then you just rip the cellophane off and start chomping around, just walk around chomping on a roast chicken.
Like King Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Walking around Sainsbury's with your chicken carcass.
Yeah, just ripping bits of flesh off the bone and just shoveling it into your mouth. And if someone comes and asks you, well, I'm exempt from wearing the mask and I'm eating, it's paid for. Unless you've got some sort of rule in the supermarkets that says I cannot eat the produce that I have paid for on the grounds. Then on the grounds, I mean, on the property, then that's making a supermarket sound very grand. And that's Waitrose, really. Only Waitrose would have grounds. You know, that would be all right, wouldn't it? And same with drinking. I'd buy a bottle of Coke or something, like a big old bottle of Coke or mead. Probably mead.
Would you need to be consistently drinking throughout your entire shopping trip, though?
Yeah. Or you'd have to put the mask back on. You'd have to, it'd be like being in a pub, wouldn't it? You could, because presumably you don't have to put the mask back on between sips.
Well, no, but I'm thinking if you were permanently drinking,
yeah,
or seeming to be permanently drinking, then you could permanently not have to put the mask on.
Yeah.
So what you need is one of those caps with the two beer cans attached to either ear and then straws that come out into your mouth.
Well, sure. I mean, again, it's only if you don't want to wear a mask, but I'd imagine there must be a market for alcoholics for masks with straws so that you can continue to feed your habit whilst protecting yourself and other people. That would make sense. I'm not promoting alcoholism. I'm just saying that, you know, that it exists. And they do hats for drinking beer. That's not frowned upon. That's seen as a novelty thing and I'm sure used by those who maybe want to drink hands-free. Although most alcoholics go around with it in a paper bag, don't they? So, I mean, it's they're not really bothered about hands-free drinking, but it's just an idea.
It's a good idea. And I really am quite staggered that this has been allowed to happen. You know me, I love finding a loophole or asking the question that sort of gets you off the hook for something.
Yeah.
But in this situation, when they said, oh, does that mean I can walk around the supermarket singing and not have to wear a mask then? The correct answer would have been, oh, piss off, behave yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But not, well, technically, yes.
Do you know who it was being asked the question?
No, I don't. I think they said it was Boris Johnson's most senior spokesperson.
Oh, well, he's a fucking dick probably then, isn't he? You know what I mean? Did you see this other thing this week, talking of sort of trying to get round rules? So this was in Italy. and there's a man who's an anti-vaxxer.
Okay.
But his job requires him to be vaccinated.
Right.
So he's in a bit of a catch-22. He doesn't believe in the vax, but his job requires him to be vaccinated.
Okay.
So he thought, I don't know, but I'm sure I can find a way to get round this. So he turned up.
Is it important I know what this guy's job is, or does that not matter?
He's a health worker.
So it is really quite important then.
So he's very important. Yeah. But as I say, anti-vaxxer. So he turned up at the vaccination centre wearing a silicone mould covering his real arm, hoping that the nurse administering the jab wouldn't notice that he was wearing a silicone arm covering.
Does he think everyone else working in the health service is as dumb as he is?
Well, you've got to sort of question it, really, haven't you? Because to think that a trained nurse wouldn't see that it's a silicone thing is really disrespectful to the noble profession of nursing.
Yes, I would say so.
He also said, apparently, I don't know how true this is, but I read somewhere that he also sort of almost drew attention to it by saying something to the nurse along the lines of, "Oh, I bet you didn't think I was this muscly," or something like that. I mean, he could have been a contender for Dick of the Week, but I've got two more that sort of deserving cases to put you later on. But I think this bloke is moronic. While we're talking about COVID-related kind of loopholes,
yeah,
can I put this to you?
Please do.
This is something that I'd never considered, and I bet 99% of people hadn't thought of this. So we are now being required, when possible, to once again work from home.
Yes.
And I've been working from home, you know, all the time. It's fine for me. I don't ever want to go back into an office ever again.
Much as I'd like to, I'm afraid I can't work from home. I would love nothing more than to have everyone else in East Grinstead come to my house to pick up their mail rather than me go to all of their houses.
That would sort of undo the whole ethos of a postal service, wouldn't it?
I'll still work my hours, you know, that's fine.
Oh, great, but you do fuck all, apart from open the door.
Yeah, and then I'll sort it out and hand it to them, that's fine.
So anyway, just this thing, right? So you know all those adverts, they say, "Have you been injured at work?"
Yeah.
Well, a man slipped whilst walking to his home desk from the sofa and has claimed it as being injured at work. Now, technically, we talked earlier about technically, and I know you like a technical thing. Technically, he's at work and has been injured. So is there a claim to be made?
I don't think there is, because yes, he's doing his work from home, but who can he hold accountable for negligence? Because say, for example, he's tripped up over a roller skate in the hallway.
Yeah.
Well, presumably his workplace would say, "Well, we wouldn't have had roller skates lying around."
Unless he worked at a roller skate factory and he's having to manufacture roller skates at home.
Yes, that's a possibility.
That would be, I very much doubt roller skate factories are getting people to make roller skates at home.
Probably not, no.
Who knows? I think it's a fair point, though. I think you've made a very fair point that anyone trying to make a claim wouldn't really have a leg to stand on.
No, I think if you trip over a bit of loose cabling at your office or your depot or your factory or whatever, then you've got a proper claim there.
Yeah.
But I think just because you're working at home, if you fall over, it's unfortunate. But no, I don't think it counts as a workplace injury, because although you are working there, it's not your workplace, really, is it?
Well, you won't be surprised to know that the court turned away his claim.
I mean, I admire him for trying.
The problem is I'm self-employed. So if I injure myself in my own house, then I'm just fucked, aren't I? I've just got to take myself to court.
Well, there was that one time where a radio station that we worked at, Tin Pot Radio Station, fell off air for about the 100th time. And for a couple of weeks, you had to come to my house.
Mm.
And we used to broadcast first thing in the morning from my little set up in here.
Yes.
Now, if I'd, you know, poured you out a cup of tea, which I did most mornings, I was quite a good host, I like to think.
Very good host, yeah, yeah.
If I'd, you know, misjudged it because it was first thing in the morning and you'd scorched your larynx on this hot tea I'd made you and you couldn't speak and all that, then could you have sued them?
Well, it's an interesting question. The injury that you have put forward is that I've scorched my larynx. Surely, in many ways, that would be my own fault. It would be more if you were to have poured the hot tea over my face, thrown it at me, spilt it over me. I think just if I've chosen to drink the tea that is way too hot for convenient swallowing, that would only be my fault, wouldn't it?
Okay, so if I was to be walking up the stairs, I tripped up over the dog and then flung it all over you.
Mm.
They're not really to blame for that, are they?
No, I mean, I'd have to take you to court. I'd have to take you down. I'd probably have to have... I'm sorry, Ben. I'd have to insist the dog be destroyed. And then I'd take you for every penny you've got.
Okay. That's nice to know where we stand. But it's been a couple of weeks. Do you want to do another commercial breakdown?
Oh, yeah.
Are you right? It's getting more annoying every time you do that.
Do you know what's really pissing me off? I don't watch too many adverts because I normally fast forward through adverts. But I have noticed that it's because it's Christmas, all the fucking perfume ads. I mean, who comes up with that wank? I saw one the other day. You know, at Christmas, they're always selling perfumes and aftershave. And they're just stupid adverts. They're all stupid. And I saw one the other day where they got these girls running around. They got, like, flowers in their hair. It's all a bit hippie. They're running about in a field. And there's no voiceover or anything until the three girls, I think they sort of lay down. And then they just start going, Daisy, 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 Daisy. And just, shut the fuck up. That's not going to entice me to buy the fucking Daisy for anyone. Just ram it down your throat if you keep on at that.
There's an advert on at the moment on the radio, which really fucking pisses me off. It's basically, it starts off really sort of jaunty and light. Like, where did that grey hair come from? Oh, what am I going to do about that bill? Oh, and it goes on and on like this. And then suddenly it cuts to, what am I going to do?
Oh, God.
My wife has died. And then it goes on to some instructions for some sort of cancer appeal.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, Jesus, that took a turn.
Yeah, I think there's a TV version of that I've seen. I'm sure I've seen that, where it's sort of people talking on the phone and then it takes a very dark turn. It catches your attention, I suppose. So, I mean, in terms of an advert, it's effective.
No, it's just depressing. And I think Christmas is hard enough without more shit being thrown on top.
You know, just going back to the perfume ads, you know, generally, they tend to always be very whispery. They have a voice going, yeah, bum, long, long, Daisy. Those sort of really creepy sex pest voiceovers.
I think it's a little bit sexier than that. It's not. Yours sounds like someone who's on 60 fags a day.
Yeah, no, he's like, barum, dupe. It's all that, isn't it?
I think it's a little bit sexier than that. It's bum. It's not poor om.
Calvin Klein. It's that sort of thing.
Help!
This stuff fucking stinks. I drank it and it's fucked my vocal cords. But maybe could they apply that to other ads so that, you know, like funeral ads. Could they like coffins? Cremations. Just like really sexy those up.
Yeah, it would be an interesting take. I mean, funerals not really thought of as a sexy affair. But
it can be.
Corpses need perfume too. more than most, actually.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting you put in perfume on corpses, although it would probably help with the cremation process. Get up like a fucking rocket, wouldn't it? You smother a corpse in whatever shit perfume or aftershave. Just
so, commercial breakdown.
Right, yeah.
So for anyone new to this feature, it's basically Trev and I cram a completely unrelated product with another business and make a radio advert out of it.
Let's go. Right.
Right. This week, I'm going to pick Butchers.
Butchers. Okay.
And your randomly generated product is going to be what?
Boxer shorts.
Okay.
What was yours? Butchers?
Yeah.
So Butchers and boxer shorts.
Yes. Off you go. Don't let me stop you.
Okay. Oh, this could be like a Christmas thing. You're buying your pigs in blankets and you get a free pair of boxer shorts.
No, I like the pig in a blanket.
Because that's sort of euphemistic.
Yes, it is. It's a dick joke, isn't it? I'm ahead of the game here.
Yeah. This is a very high class affair.
So it's a seasonal advert, this?
Could be. Could be like a Christmas thing, couldn't it? This could be like a big butcher. Do you remember when... I mean, let's say, people who never heard us on the radio won't know this, but I used to... I had my own thing about a butcher. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
There's a song by... What was the song called?
I honestly can't remember.
It was it George Thorogood?
Yes, sounds familiar.
I'm just looking up the... Bad to the Bone, that's right. It was George Thorogood, and he was a northern butcher based in Doncaster. George Thorogood, thoroughly good meat with Thorogoods. So let's say that Thorogoods has expanded out of Doncaster. It's now it's a national brand, and they're trying to boost their customer around the country, so they're bringing in this special Christmas deal that involves giving away boxer shorts with when you buy pigs in blankets.
Okay, I like that. But didn't you say George Thorogood's song was Bad to the Bone?
Well, Bad to the Bone. So, I mean, that's got to be the song.
Quite a mixed message, though. You want bad to come to our George Thorogood's Northern Butchers for his meat, which is bad to the bone.
Yeah, but I think it's like... Yeah.
Oh, bad, like a Michael Jackson kind of.
It could be like a bad...
Bad is good.
Yeah. It's a very street thing. I mean, I don't know whether the song means that or not.
I'd imagine... Northern butcher.
Yeah. He's a northern... bad to the bone. Thoroughly good, mate. Bad to the bone. It's bad.
Okay, so...
It doesn't have to be the song, but it's just... That's just the name of the Butchers. We can find another song, surely.
Okay.
But that's the Butchers. But what's the... What's the kind of ideas? Is it just pigs in blankets? I mean, are we giving away boxes with every? Could you give could the turkey come with wearing the boxers? I'd love to. I mean, I would buy a turkey if it came wrapped in a pair of boxer shorts.
Would you? What, over the legs? I mean, wrapped in boxers for shorts or wearing boxer shorts?
Like the whole thing just covered. You basically place the turkey in the boxer shorts.
Because you want to keep your giblets warm.
Yeah. Like, you know the little hole at the front of boxer shorts? You kind of push the stuffing up that when you're stuck. I mean, you probably want to take the boxer shorts off the turkey when you're stuffing it. You might push the boxers up there and that would cause all kinds of hassle.
So are we going with the pig in the blanket metaphor or the keeping your giblets warm?
Who wants to keep your giblets warm anyway? I mean, giblets...
Well, also, who's going to want to wear the pair of boxers that have been on the turkey carcass?
Do they still come... Does a turkey still come with giblets?
All the gizzards and giblets and...
Is it used for gravy?
Don't they put them in a plastic bag and stuff them up the arse of the turkey?
I used to I remember that as a kid, but I mean, they'd always just be given to the cat. The cat would have those.
Really?
Yeah. The cat would have all the giblets.
Oh, that's a shame. You could have made a lovely stock from all that.
Ugh, you're not when you got Bisto, mate. This is faffing around with bits of his fucking gizzard and innards and all kinds of stinky offal.
Fair enough.
Just give me some fucking granules, job done.
Okay.
So,
could we build that into the tagline? Maybe it's awfully good.
Oh, it's awfully right. So keep your giblet. So then we've got to go with giblets, haven't we? It's got to be
okay.
But I mean, we're pushing the wrong bit of meat. That's the problem here.
It's a seasonal advert. Yeah, so it's not out of the realms of possibility that our butcher's doing a seasonal turkey range.
But the giblets isn't the selling point for the turkey, is it?
Pun, though.
Right, so we just need the pun. Okay, yeah. Right. I think we should get Brian Blessed as Father Christmas probably to voice it.
Okay, I like that.
Ho, 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 keep your giblets warm.
That's one of your better impressions. I like that. Yeah. I just wonder how many people listening to this have a clue who Brian Blessed is.
Everyone knows who Brian Blessed is. Surely there's not anyone alive who doesn't know who Brian Blessed is.
Okay.
So here we scream. One decent mate! Go to Thorogood's. Thoroughly good, mate. I've lost it a little bit there, haven't I?
So basically, we're giving away a luxury pair of boxer shorts with every large turkey.
They're going to be silk boxer shorts.
I like it.
Yeah.
So Thorogood's Butcher's giving away a silk pair of boxer shorts with every large turkey bought this Christmas. And then it's not anything to do. The turkey's not going to come wearing them, but it's going to be a command, a tagline at the end of the advert. Keep your giblets warm.
I mean, we could go a different way. We could, like we were saying earlier, we could sexy the ad up if we're giving away sexy silk boxer shorts.
So you're going to try and do a whispered, sexy...
Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessed. Brian Blessed and whisper are not two words you find in the same sentence very often.
Keep your giblets warm.
He's the loudest man. No, well,
we probably wouldn't get him to do it if we're going to go down the sexy whispery voice thing. You'd want someone else. But it's just an idea that you could sort of, you know, we're sexying up the Christmas dinner. We're sexing up the turkey.
So I think we're just missing the music then. We've got Thorogood's Northern festive butchers.
Thoroughly good meat.
Thoroughly good meat.
Thoroughly good meat.
Awfully good meat.
Oh, it's awfully good meat. Yes.
Yes. Although if we're taking away the word thoroughly, then it kind of has no point being George Thorogood anymore.
Yeah. it doesn't have to be Thorogood's. It could be any.
Thoroughly awfully good meat.
Thoroughly awfully. Awfully thoroughly. Thoroughly awfully.
It doesn't work. But it'll do.
So we need a song. Now, is there any song about turkeys that springs in mind?
I can't name you a single song about turkeys.
No. Any songs about giblets you can think of?
No.
No.
I don't think so. What about just meat in general?
Anything by Meatloaf?
Yes.
What about... No, I know. Let's re-record. You know that song, Every Time You Go Away.
I know where this is going.
You take a piece of meat with you. Because then that's quite romantic. We're bringing the sex back into it.
Yes.
So that's we could get that re-recorded.
Every time you go away, you take a piece of meat. So, so you've come to the butcher's, and every time you go away from us, you take a piece of meat
Take
with
a
you.
Piece of meat with you and a free pair of silk boxes for Christmas.
I did hear. Now I'm not claiming this is my own at all, because it really isn't. I used to listen to Dave Gorman's podcast on Absolute Radio.
Yeah.
Of his radio show, and they were doing something called Pun Street, and it was the best pun business title or name would get a place on Pun Street.
I remember this, yes.
But there could only be room for one business. And the sort of resident that could never be knocked off the board was a butcher's. And it was called Halal, Is It Meat You're Looking For? That was just delicious. We'll never come up with anything as good as that.
No, we might as well give up and go home.
No, but I think we're onto a winner here. Well, I'm a bit confused with the voiceover. Are we trying to get Brian Blessed to do a sort of ASMR whisper?
No. I think if we're going to get Brian Blessed, it would be like a Santa, a really loud, shouty Santa. And I think it would have to be, if we're doing a Christmas thing, it's got to be like a Father Christmassy voice, isn't it?
I think so. So it's still going to be in association with George Thorogood's Awfully Good Butchers.
Yeah, Awfully Good.
Or Thoroughly Good Butchers. It's awfully good at this time of year, something like that.
Yeah. And I think it should end with a Brian Blessed like doing a... So he finishes by saying, you know, and keep your giblets warm. Ho, ho, ho. Sort of a slightly suggestive.
Can he be wearing the silk boxer shorts?
Oh, he's going to be in it.
Well, it would help sell it, I think, if they could visualise.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
the price.
The boxer shorts will have to be red silk, because Santa would only be wearing red silk underwear, wouldn't he?
Yes.
So they're going to be red silk. And yeah, Brian Blessed comes on just in his pants and does the advert.
I like that. I'm not sure anyone else would, but I like it.
Just before we finish this week, Ben, as last week, I have two nominations for this week's Dick of the Week Award, which has now become a regular feature. I don't know how long it'll last, but it's 3 weeks on the trot. I think that is officially a new feature for now.
I do like it. I don't know if it's because we've been talking about our old radio job quite a lot in this podcast, but I'm getting the feeling that I need some sort of sting, some sort of intro for Dick of the Week. I feel like a trumpet, you know, like a...
Yeah. And Brian Blessed.
Dick of the Week!
Brian Blessed. Just slipping out of those satin boxes.
Going, Dick of the Week! We're not made of money, it was silk. I don't know.
Nomination number one this week is the man who accidentally burned his house down whilst trying to fight some snakes.
This happens more than you'd think. We've done stories about this sort of thing before. Like
we've done people burning their house down trying to get rid of spiders, I think.
Yeah, he went after it with a... I don't know how he did it exactly. I think he was going after it with an aerosol can and a lighter or something. Ended up setting the whole place on fire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this guy, he'd been attempting to use coals to try and smoke the snakes out of their hiding place, which I think was in some sort of basement in this house. This was in America, where most houses seem to have basements.
That's quite a unique approach. I must admit, if I was confronted with a snake in my house, I would not consider trying to smoke it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing would be to try and charm it out. I'd get like one of those little, I don't know what instrument they are, but that little pipe thing, and try and charm them first.
Thing is, I'm not very musically gifted in that way, so I think I just make quite an irritating noise. So
it might be irritating to the human ear. I mean, I find the music that's played whenever you see a scene in a film when they're charming snakes with it fucking annoying. I mean, that instrument in itself is annoying, whatever instrument it is. So whatever noise you make, it's going to be annoying. But to the snake, that could be very enticing.
Also, I'm not really willing to start a fire in my own house. I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. Mm. And
you can fake
smoking,
them out.
Yeah. Cigarette smoking is no longer permitted in the house.
Right.
So I could try and just vape at it, but... I'm not sure what that would do.
Well, the problem with this man was, not only was he trying to smoke the serpents out, he had the hot coals too near to combustibles in the basement. I mean, wouldn't that be the first thing you would check? If you're going to sort of use hot coals, you would have a look around and think, well, I won't put them anywhere near, I don't know, the paraffin or the perfume selection. That would be something that I would check very early on, I think.
Yeah, I mean, how was he trying to direct the smoke towards the snake? What do you call it? Is it a bellows that you use?
A bellows, he might have been...
Is that just for air?
No, you could probably use them to direct smoke. You'd push the smoke in a certain direction. Maybe he had some bellows. I haven't got that information to hand.
So I'm assuming this completely voids any insurance this guy had on his house.
I'd imagine so. I mean, no one was injured, but the damage caused to the property totaled more than $1 million.
Jesus.
I mean, that's a mistake, isn't it? That's a big mistake to make. If you're in a house that's worth $1 million or more, again, I'd go back to the point, if you're going to use hot coals in a house worth that much money, you would check that there's no combustibles nearby.
I'm not, you know, I mean, maybe he's very thrifty or frugal with his money, but I'd like to think if I owned a property worth $1 million,
yeah,
I'd probably pay someone to come and get rid of the snakes for me.
Yeah, you probably would have that.
Unless he's a real tight-fisted bastard.
Well, you're going to have to be saving a lot of money now.
Okay, so, I mean, he's not hurt anyone. I mean, he's probably upset. I don't know what his living situation is, if he's got a family. He's probably pissed them off something chronic.
I'd imagine, yeah.
No one's been hurt, so I bet it is a pretty dickish thing to do. So he's a good start.
Okay, second nomination is a surgeon. Shouldn't really be having a pop at surgeons or doctors and nurses. We all know that they're very skilled and valuable members of society.
Yes, I'm interested to see where this is going.
This is a surgeon in Austria who has been fined quite a lot of money. Well, I say quite a lot of money, just over $2,000, which I think is quite lenient when you consider what he's done.
Okay. I wonder if I can guess. Is it... Has he accidentally left something inside of somebody?
No, he hasn't left anything inside.
has what he's done, would it be considered vain, what he's done?
No, I wouldn't consider it vain. In fact, so it's he hasn't, almost the opposite.
I was going to say, has he stitched his initials into somebody?
No, I mean, that would be... I'd love to meet the surgeon that would do that, though. I'd be very intrigued to see. No, I mean, that would be someone... Oh, yeah, no, I always stitch my initials in after any operation I've done. Like, it's like an artist.
You've done a great bit of, you know, surgery, and you're really proud of it, so you just sort of sign it like a painting. Stitch your initials in.
You'd probably want to carve them with a scalpel so they actually scar up. So, stitches, they'll come out. If you're going to do that, then you want your initials to be there forever, so you do something to create a scar. No, I'll tell you what this man's done. He's amputated the wrong leg. For one of his patients. He apparently marked the wrong leg.
I would say that was surely worth hundreds of thousands in compensation.
Yeah, I mean, there was £5,000 in damages to the family of the patient. It's not enough, is it?
It's nowhere near enough. To lose the wrong leg. But that poor sod, whoever that was probably banking on the fact, well, at least I'll, you know, it could be worse. At least I've got my other one. And then that's happened. That's just terrible.
Yeah.
I reckon if that happened in the States, that would be a multi-million dollar lawsuit.
Yeah, minimum. So there are your two nominations. Who are you awarding Dick of the Week to?
I think it's going to have to be the surgeon.
The surgeon.
That's a much more permanent mistake. I mean, at least the other guy can rebuild or repair the damage and whatnot, but and you know, no one else was hurt, which is very much not the case with your surgeon. So yeah, I'm afraid it's surgeon Dick of the Week.
Well, there you go. So it wasn't all bad, he's won an award. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations for you. What you got for us this week, Ben?
Well, Mrs. Ben had been nagging me for some time to watch a programme with her. I've been wanting to watch the next batch of Tiger King, which I'm desperate to get
into. Have you not got around to that yet?
Still haven't, because...
You've just got to put everything else on hold to just get onto it.
Well, I'd have liked to, but Mrs. Ben, I have to prioritise her needs as well sometimes, and she has got me to watch this show called Fargo. I believe there's 3 series of it so far on Netflix. Although, from what I understand, the second series is nothing to do with the first series, and the third is nothing to do with the first or the second.
That's right.
From what I understand,
they're all standalone series.
Got it. So Martin Freeman is in the first series. Mm-hmm. I love Martin Freeman. He's very good. I've seen the first 2 episodes so far, and it's very, very good. But me and Mrs. Ben both had a slight issue with the accent, which we both thought was a bit more Canadian than American. But then again, maybe Minnesota, where it's set, maybe that is a good portrayal of the accent. I don't know, but it did have a whiff of Canadian to it. But
well,
anyway.
No, I think it's all kind of in that area, because I remember seeing an interview with Martin Freeman where he talked about being criticised, I think, by some English viewers about his accent. But actually, people from the region say that it was spot on. It's spot on. The first series is based sort of around, it's the same storyline as the film, which came out in the, must have been the late 90s, which is about the only Coen brothers film I can say I like.
hate those people.
Well, I think there might be one more film. Did they do, I don't know, there might be one other film they've done, but in general, I can't stand their films because they just stop. You invest all this time into it, and then they just, oh, fuck it, we don't need an ending. We'll just stop there. And it really pisses. And they win Oscars and everything. You just say, I could just do a film, go, oh, fuck it, I don't need an ending. I'll just stop it there and win a fucking Oscar. Lazy.
It's quite a commitment. It's there's about 10 episodes in series one, and they're about an hour long each. No, it's very good.
It's very good. Excellent. Well, I've only got a 4-parter thing to recommend to you this week. I say recommend. I think you're only going to like it if you like a certain style. This is a program called Landscapers. It's on Sky, so you can get it on the Sky catch-up.
Of course you're watching something on Sky called Landscapers.
Well, it's a true story about a couple who have, or haven't, depending on which way you want to take it, committed murder.
Ooh, okay.
But the way the program has been made is very surreal. And there are times I'm watching it thinking, what the fuck's going on now? Why are we suddenly in a Wild West scene? This doesn't make any... I mean, it doesn't make sense because the woman, the main character, she was obsessed by... Oh, I don't know, some Western star whose name I can't remember. Like Gary Cooper, is it? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
She's upset. So it kind of makes sense that there's a Western thing, but they suddenly go from an interview room into a Western. And there's a bit of me that just thinks, oh, hang on, what the fuck's going on here? So I think it will only appeal if you kind of like that surreal thing. It got a little bit too surreal for me at times, but it is very good. It's got Olivia Colman in it.
Well, she's great.
And David Thewlis, whose face you'd know, but name maybe not. He was in Harry Potter. He's been in loads of things.
Okay. Right.
Great cast. It's a great thing, but just a bit weird at times.
I just wanted to say, you just reminded me of something I wanted to say about Fargo. You said how yours was a true story.
Hmm.
Now, it's curious because... at the beginning of the series of Fargo, and basically every episode, it stresses that it's based on a true story. And it really makes a point, and it says, names have been changed to protect the identities of the survivors, but the story has been maintained to preserve the story for the dead, or something quirky like that. Mrs. Ben tells me, it's not a true story at all.
No, it's not. It's not.
Why would they do that?
Again, it comes from the Coen brothers, mate. Just some old bullshit, just put it out there. Doesn't matter.
Do they just think that whole line about protecting the survivors and maintaining the story for the dead, do they think that was just quite a cool thing to say, so let's lie about it being a true story so we can slip that line in?
I think so. I don't know why they did it, but it's not a true story. There we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. Now, the next edition of our podcast will come out on Christmas Day. It'll be our Christmas special.
Ho, 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 Ben. Ho, ho, ho. It'll be the Christmas special. Ho, ho, ho.
I wanted to ho, 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 but you didn't leave a pause.
But you can do a ho,
straight
ho.
Into you.
You
no, do no, one. Fuck it.
Do
no,
one.
I was going to do one, but then you didn't even leave a breath.
Won't be as good as mine, though, will it?
You just went straight into your own.
I mean, yours would be a little bit like, ho, ho, ho. It won't even be worth listening to.
Right, fine.
It'd be husky. All those years of smoking. Really, really dreadful.
I can be the stand-in if Brian Blessed gets sick.
Yeah.
I mean, the voice.
You'd be about fourth in the stand-in. We really have to scrape the barrel if we can't do it. So anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. And we'll catch you again Christmas Day. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.
Ho, ho, ho.